Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Since Donald Trump was elected, there has been an increased focus on the fate of undocumented immigrants in the United States. But long before Trump's ascendancy to the presidency, the U.S. had ramped up deportation efforts. And in 2012, the National Immigrant Youth Alliance decided to fight these deportations from the inside. The film The Infiltrators features several undocumented immigrants, including Marco Saavedra and Viridiana, both activists who turned themselves into the Broward Transitional Center, a detention center for deportees. They enlisted Claudio Rojas, a man facing deportation, and together with Mohammed Mo Abdullahi, their main contact on the outside, they worked to get people released. After the premiere, Rojas was detained and deported, something the filmmakers claim is retaliation for his participation in the film. Darren Dean is one of the producers of The Infiltrators, and he's in town for the screening at Milwaukee Film Festival. Ahead of that screening tomorrow night, Dean spoke with Lake Effect's Troy Powers, and he explained some of what attracted him to this film.
I had been watching the news, and I had been hearing about these things. This is so important and so happening right now. And, you know, and it felt very urgent to me, and I felt that regardless of how much I knew or understood about the subject matter, I did feel that there's a responsibility here to step up. Whether or not you know the full story, you just got to get in there and start learning and educating yourself. So much of my education did come, you know, about the process, you know, of these deportations and the process of protecting people from deportations through people like Mohammed and Viridiana, who are two of our lead characters, and Marco, both interviews with them as well as the documentary footage that had been captured, and just learning, you know, what we could do. And that was kind of like step one, and then integrating that into this feature.
So what did you learn? What were the kinds of things that you learned about deportation that you found surprising?
Obviously, the complete stripping of human rights, it was and it wasn't surprising. I mean, I feel like you kind of expect that, but the privatization of these, you know, these facilities, because people aren't arrested, there's a very gray area of what is going on. They're detained, they're not arrested. And because of that, I think the thing that I found surprising was through Mo and Viri was the idea that they could get out. They could be released if they knew what to do. The problem is that most of these people who are in there don't know what to do, don't have an access point, don't have a person to get to, don't have a hotline to call, which is what Mo and Viri had set up and Marco had set up in an effort to get people who could find their way to a phone and, you know, at the very least tell a family member, call the National Immigrant Youth Alliance and get me help. And from that, just kind of these things of refuse to get on a plane. There's all these little like nuanced things that according to law at that time, by the way, at that time, because a lot of it has changed and a lot of these tactics don't work. But a lot of these things made it seem really like people could survive this and hopefully get out. And it's increasingly gotten a lot more difficult. But for that period of time, that was the surprise to me, was that people were, you know, especially like Mo and Vera, were intuitive enough to educate the people behind those walls on how to not get deported. And it was working to a certain degree. And obviously a lot of that has changed now under, you know, new eyes.
Yeah. You know, you say a lot of these things have changed. The film really focuses on a time period about 2012.
Yep.
So, of course, Obama is in his second term, starting his second term in his presidency. What has changed under the Trump administration?
My understanding is, from what I've seen, it's become a lot more divisive and spiteful. You know, now if we say to our president, you know, this can't happen, he goes, na 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 na, yes it can. And that's kind of how we're operating right now. And he's amped up efforts and he's trying to build walls and things that were not part of this in 2012. That being said, it was kept a lot quieter in 2012. This is over, you know, many administrations. So the good aspect of the Trump administration right now, if there is any good aspect of the Trump administration right now, is the fact that Trump has people talking. Trump is a person who will tweet, you know, let's get rid of these guys, let's, you know, deport all these people and separate them from their families and throw them out of the country. And naturally, our instinct is to go, whoa, what's going on? That's when people start educating themselves. That's when people start taking action. during the Obama administration, there was nobody saying that stuff. It was being done quietly behind closed doors. And it was the same effect. And at one point, there were more people, you know, deported under Obama. But now it's starting to amp up again, you know, because of just whatever kind of crazy world we're in right now.
Inside of the film, and obviously things have changed, but inside of the film, one man was threatened that his family would be deported, specifically his wife, if he didn't agree to his own deportation. How common are these kinds of threats?
From my understanding, they're fairly common. I don't want to spoil the film, but there are elements, if you know people come out and see the film, that they'll learn about that changed after the film was made, where certain individuals were retaliated against by ICE because they were in this film. That's the kind of threat that they posed to people. So there's nothing stopping them from also going and trying to deport that person's family if they're not, you know, if they're also not legal. The tricky part about this is that from the documentary side, I would say 9 films out of 10, you know, we're going to somebody to talk about the truth. And they need to be protected and be able to say, this is the truth, without a government or an individual being able to come after them for telling the truth. And in the case of this film, I believe we very strongly believe that I'm a straight white guy from Jersey. No, we here, these are our subjects, have been targeted directly by ICE and our government for speaking out. Right now, we have a lawsuit with the ACLU trying to target, suing ICE for retaliatory, you know, behavior, because it makes it impossible for any documentarian to go out and get a true story if somebody can then follow through with some kind of action that's going to punish them for telling the truth.
Yeah, the case you're talking about, of course, was in the news, that one of the subjects was deported as a result of being part of this film. And, you know, that gets to a broader question that I have about this film in general. You're dealing with incredibly delicate information, in part because many of these people are undocumented. Many of these people, beyond being undocumented, really don't have a pathway to citizenship in the United States. And thus, this makes them vulnerable.
Absolutely.
How do you deal with that kind of subject matter? How do you work around those kinds of concerns?
Well, I feel like there is, I will just say it's Claudio. I mean, it's our main character. And you know, I feel irresponsible not saying that we need to, you know, try to get Claudio back in this country. And I ask this of myself and of the filmmakers I work with very frequently, because I tend to work in those worlds of social realism so frequently, or even in my narratives, many of our actors are real people. You know, our trans sex workers were real trans sex workers. Our West African street hustlers were real West African street hustlers. You know, so you always kind of walk away, or even, frankly, enter a film asking yourself, what is your responsibility to these individuals? And where does it begin? Where does it end? What is your responsibility after those cameras stop rolling? And arguably, the types of films that, you know, I'm involved with, that responsibility goes long beyond, you know, rap and, you know, and a festival premiere and a sale of a film. Claudio, I mean, he has a family here. You know, they feel threatened by this too. And he wants to come home. This is home to him. You know, he's got children and grandchildren who are American. And we have been doing a lot of different things on a lot of different levels. Mo and Vidi, you know, I mean, Mo has, you know, dreamactivist.org. Vidiana has, you know, her own organization that, you know, the National Immigrant Youth Alliance has split sort of at this point. But they have new organizations they're working with to educate people, you know, and to also take action. You know, Mo has kind of set up this new bay of individuals that will take phone calls from inside these detention centers and try to do what we do in the film. But that being said, we all have like different ways of taking action. You know, what do? I can call my senator. I can write a letter. I can, you know, there's certain things that you can do and that I can do and stuff like that. Mo will stage a sit-in and, you know, and there's many levels to take action. And we're trying to take all of these different ways of taking action to try to help Claudio at this point. And there's another piece. On November 7th, there's a hearing in New York City now for Marco. Marco, who is a dreamer and supposedly protected under the DREAM Act, is suddenly now being targeted for deportation. So I'm beginning to wonder how long before they, you know, they try to come for, you know, Mo or Vidi. This is very clearly to me, like the people who are flat out protected. Claudio was not. Marco was under the DREAM Act. And this is very clearly a targeting. So somebody hands me a microphone and says, you know, can film change the world? And you kind of suddenly you see what is happening and you're going like, well, no, this is not what I expected and this is not helping things. And you wonder if you are helping things by going like, here's this man who's undocumented. And then suddenly people come and take him away. It's like, where is that line now and how do we solve that problem? And I'm not sure what the answer is because I've become a little disillusioned at this point. You know, obviously we press on with our efforts to, you know, to reach out to the government and change things. We just don't know that we can do it in time. I mean, on the flip side of that, from a, you know, practical perspective is, you know, yes, when we enter into an arrangement with our subjects, they know, you know, we tell them that there may be risk and they know the risk. And God bless Claudio and God bless Marco for being willing and Mo and Vidi for being willing to take that risk. But now that the time has come for them to, you know, face the repercussions of that risk because they made our film, it is up to us, and that responsibility doesn't end. And it really is up to us to try to get people involved, just generate that energy to keep these people here, whether it works or not. I mean, eventually it's going to work, but we have to do everything that we can. And so it's a broad answer to a big question, and it's a big question that weighs upon all of us. You know, it's a huge risk. It's a huge risk at this point in this country for anyone to be speaking their mind, period. Especially for these folks, it's particularly challenging and challenging for the people who ask them for the truth.
Yeah. Well, Darren, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Darren Dean is a producer of The Infiltrators, a film that documents the true story of dreamers who gain access to a deportation center and work to release people from the inside. The film has another screening at the Milwaukee Film Festival tomorrow night at 9:30. Dean spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers. You can find more of our conversations with filmmakers at wuwm.com.